I sing the body, electric. The armies of those I love engirth me, and I engirth them. They will not let me off until I go with them, respond to them, and discorrupt them, charging them full of the charge of the soul. Does anyone think that those who corrupt their own bodies conceal themselves? Does anyone doubt that those who defile the living are as bad as those who defile the dead? Does anyone doubt that the body does not do fully as much as the soul? For if the body is not the soul, what is it? The love of the body of man or woman balks account. The body itself balks account. That of the male is perfect, and that of the female is perfect. The expression of the face balks account. But the expression of a well-made man appears not only in his face. It's in his limbs and joints also. It's curiously in the joints of his hips and wrists. It's in his walk, the carriage of his neck, the flex of his waist and knees. Dress does not hide him. The strong, sweet quality he has strikes through the cotton and broadcloth. Just to see him pass conveys as much as the best poem, perhaps more. You linger to see his back and the back of his neck and his shoulder side. The sprawl and fullness of babies. The bosoms and heads of women. The folds of their dress, their style as we pass in the street, and the contour of their shape downwards. The swimmer, naked in the swimming bath as he swims through the transparent green shine, or as he lies with his face up and rolls silently in the heave of the water. The bending forward and backward of rowers in rowboats. The horseman in his saddle. Girls, mothers, housekeepers, and all their performances. A group of laborers seated at noontime with their open dinner kettles, their wives waiting, the female soothing a child, the farmer's daughter in the garden, the cowyard, the young fellow hoeing corn, the sled driver driving his six horses through the crowd, the wrestle of wrestlers, two apprentice boys, quite grown, lusty, good-natured, out on the vacant lot at sundown after work, coats and caps thrown down. The embrace of love and resistance, the upper hold and the under hold, and their hair rumpled over, blinding their eyes. The march of firemen in their own costumes, play of masculine muscle through clean-setting trousers and waist straps, and their slow return from the fire. The pause when the bell strikes suddenly again, and the way they listen, on the alert, the natural, perfect, varied attitude, the bent head, the curved neck, and the counting. all such like these I love. I loosen myself and pass freely. I am at the mother's breast with the little child. I swim with the swimmer, wrestle with the wrestlers, and march in line with the firemen, pausing, listening and counting. I knew a man, a common farmer, the father of five sons, and in them the fathers of sons, and in them the fathers of sons. This man was of wonderful vigor, calmness, beauty of person. The shape of his head, the pale yellow and white of his hair and beard, the immeasurable meaning of his black eyes, the richness and breadth of his manners. These I used to go and visit him to see. He was wise also. He was 6 feet tall, and he was over 80 years old. His sons were massive, clean, bearded, tan-faced, handsome. They and his daughters loved him. All who saw him loved him with personal love. He only drank water, and the blood showed scarlet through the clear brown skin of his face. He was a frequent hunter and fisher. He sailed his boat himself. He had a fine one given to him by a shipbuilder. And he had fowling pieces presented to him by men that loved him. And when he went with his five sons and many grandsons to hunt or fish, he would pick him out as the most beautiful and vigorous of the gang. And you would wish, long to be with him. You would wish to sit by him in his boat, just so you and he might touch each other. I have perceived that to be with those I like is enough. To stop in the company with the rest at evening is enough. To be surrounded by beautiful, curious, breathing, laughing flesh is enough. To pass among them or touch anyone, or rest my arm ever so lightly around his or her neck for a moment. What is this then? I don't ask any more delight. I swim in it as if it were a sea. There's something in staying close to men and women and looking on them. There's something in the contact and odor of them that pleases the soul well. Many things please the soul, but this pleases the soul well. This is the female form. A divine nimbus exhales from it from head to foot. It attracts with fierce, undeniable attraction. I'm drawn by its breath as if I were no more than a helpless vapor. All falls aside but myself and it. Books. Art, religion, time. The visible and solid earth, what was expected of heaven or feared of hell, are now consumed by that female nimbus. Mad filaments, uncontrollable shoots play out of it. My response is likewise uncontrollable. Hair, bosom, hips, bend of legs, negligent falling hands all diffused, my hands too diffused. The wave stung by the shore, and the shore stung by the wave. Love flesh, swelling, and delirious juice. The bridegroom on his night of love, working surely and softly into the prostrate dawn, undulating into the willing and yielding morning, lost in the cleave of the clasping, sweet flesh today. This is the nucleus. After the child is born of woman, man is born of woman. And in this bath of birth, there merges the small and the large. And the outlet comes again. Oh, be not ashamed, women. Your privilege encloses everything and is the exit of everything. You are the gates of the body and you are the gates of the soul. The female contains all qualities and tempers. In her place, she moves with perfect balance. She is all things, duly veiled. She is both passive and active. She is to conceive daughters as well as sons, and sons as well as daughters. As I see my soul reflected in nature, I see through a mist, one with inexpressible completeness, sanity, and beauty. See the bent head and arms folded over the breast? The female I see.